I call this meeting of the House Commerce Committee to order. We do have a quorum present. May I have a motion to approve the minutes for April 9th, 2024? Representative Farr moves approval of the minutes for April 9th, 2024. Members, any discussion to the motion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion prevails and the minutes for April 9th, 2024 are approved. The first bill on our agenda today, members, is House File 5295. Chair Stevenson moves that House File 5295 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And Chair Stevenson, you have a DE3 amendment. Would you like to move and describe that?
Sure. I will move the DE3 amendment, and maybe we could adapt it, and then I can describe. Since it gets the bill in the shape, I'd like the committee to consider it.
We do have some amendments to the amendment, Mr. Chair, so let's go forward with testimony, and then we'll come back to that at the end.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. The DE3 amendment makes this the committee's finance bill for this session. We did receive a target. The target was for a savings of $5,499,000 to the general fund in the biennium, and a spending target of $1,738,000 in the tails. This bill consists basically of three parts. Governor's recommendations for the Department of Commerce is part one, and I know the Commissioner of Commerce is going to be testifying, and so I'll let her speak to those recommendations. The second component is the Governor's recommendations for the Office of Cannabis Management, and the Interim Director of the Office of Cannabis Management is here and intends to testify, so I will let her describe those components of the bill. The third piece of the bill is Representative Elkin's data privacy provisions that were previously heard and passed out of this committee. I think this is really important legislation that I'm really proud to include in this bill, and really want to commend Representative Elkins for his outstanding work with stakeholders to achieve a remarkable degree of consensus around a really thorny topic. So I'm really pleased that we were able to include that. With that, Madam Chair, I know there are some testifiers who will describe the other components of the bill.
All right, very good. We will move to testifiers. First on the list we have Commissioner of the Commerce Department and Minnesota Business Journal 40 Under 40 Award winner, Grace Arnold. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
I love that.
Thank you, Chair Katiza Batune, for the embarrassment.
We're proud to have you, Commissioner.
For the record, my name is Grace Arnold, and I'm the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Commerce. I want to thank Chair Stevenson for carrying House File 5295, which is the Governor's Supplemental Budget for Commerce, and it's now the vehicle bill for the omnibus. I'm here today to speak in support of our two budget items in the bill. The first provision is a statutory change to increase the current Commerce Fraud Bureau Insurance Company assessment. The current assessment accounts for approximately $1.85 million per fiscal year. With the increased assessment, the CFB would increase revenue by an additional $1.85 million per year to an existing special revenue fund. This additional revenue will be used primarily to support the CFB agent salary costs, as well as operations and administration of the criminal fraud investigations that are conducted by the CFB at the Department of Commerce. CFB special agents are Minnesota police officers that are licensed by the Post Board. They're certified peace officers. They come to us often with extensive law enforcement experience, backgrounds, training, and they're considered experts in the field of insurance fraud. Aside from being extensively trained in criminal investigations, CFB agents and staff provide assistance and training for consumers, the insurance industry, and law enforcement partners in Minnesota and nationwide. Aside from being, in 2005, the assessment covered nearly 100% of operating revenue in that division. By this year, the assessment covers approximately 48% of the operating revenue for that division. And this increase is needed to cover the recent salary increases in the Minnesota law enforcement officers' contract negotiations, as well as to keep the, and will keep the Fraud Bureau fully staffed and avoid any operational issues or layoffs. I will say, our former director used to say, fraud is big business and it's always there, so they're never short of work, unfortunately. The second provision in the bill is a statutory change to 60Q 2.73, which is related to the Department of Commerce's external review fee. So this would change, it would remove the existing fee of $25 that we charge to Minnesotans who go through the external review process if they've been denied a medical claim. This will result in a reduction of fee revenue of to the general fund of a whopping $1,000 per fiscal year. The Department of Commerce, we've determined that the administration of this fee uses a ton of staff time with nominal benefit to the general public. And it's often a burden for consumers who because they need to get the fee processed and then reprocessed. I'll explain why in a minute. So the fee is refundable when there's a ruling in favor of the consumer. That means that if your appeal is denied, you go through the process with your carrier, you come to us, you pay $25, your fee is, or your appeal is granted, we then pay you back the $25. It's a lot of burden that doesn't have a lot of value. We want to remove the barriers that exist because of this fee so that it becomes easier for Minnesotans who believe that they have a health insurance claim that should be paid, that those claims are handled fairly and equitably regardless of financial position. Eliminating the fee will also address our equity concerns around the consumer access because folks would need checks, checking accounts, envelopes, and then it also just takes a bunch of time and adds additional burden to people who are already in a situation where they are working through a medical issue. So in addition to saving families money, we'll save them time, we'll save them worry, and we'll save extra steps just because of the fee. So thank you again for your time today and the opportunity to testify in support of these two important statutory changes. We, my team will be here to answer any questions you have when you get to the question, answer, and amendment portion of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Next on the list, we have Charlene Briner, Interim Director of the Office of Cannabis Management. You can introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Charlene Briner. I'm the Interim Director of the Office of Cannabis Management, and I'm really pleased to be here today to present the Governor's budget recommendations. Also appreciate Chair Stevenson hearing this for us and being a really important thought partner as we continue our work of standing up Minnesota's Office of Cannabis Management. At the office, we are tasked with standing up a new agency and developing the operational and regulatory framework to oversee the cannabis industry in Minnesota. We are focused, as you've heard before in this committee, on the successful launch of a safe, effective, and sustainable adult use market while maintaining safe, reliable access to products for registered medical cannabis patients. The proposals in front of you are all part of the governor's budget recommendations to support these goals. The Office of Cannabis Management is requesting funding for two primary components to support our office's need to stand up, first, a reference laboratory in the interest of public health and safety. As evidenced in other states, establishing high product standards and policies that licensed commercial labs must adhere to is critical to protecting the health and safety for Minnesotans who choose to consume these products or who use them for medical purposes. Additionally, the state needs a way to scrutinize results from other commercial labs to probe the entry of illegal cannabis into the illegal market, and to also determine the need for product recalls in the event of adverse reactions or responses. A reference laboratory will help us meet those goals. This funding will establish the laboratory function in three primary ways. First, with equipment and people. Second, with testing capacity. And third, with a partnership with the Department of Agriculture, which already has a high-quality lab in place from which to leverage existing infrastructure. As we've developed this particular proposal, we looked at ways to maximize the state's current infrastructure and target the specific testing needs of our agency. Second, as discussed when we were here with you to discuss our policy bill, we are planning for the transfer of the Office of Medical Cannabis, both the current hemp-derived enforcement operations for the hemp-derived operations and the regulatory functions of the medical program from the Department of Health to the Office of Cannabis Management. Our bill transfers the one-time appropriation that supports the hemp-derived program at the Department of Health and allows for earlier integration of staff, helps OCM expand its foundational capacity, and supports a consistent enforcement approach for all cannabis regulation under one umbrella. We appreciate your consideration of these budget proposals this afternoon, and we'll be on hand to answer questions later in this hearing.
Thank you, Director Briner.
Thank you.
Next, we have Assistant Commissioner Maria Sarabia with the Department of Health. Can you introduce yourself when you're ready and proceed?
Good afternoon, Maria Sarabia, Assistant Commissioner for the Department of Health. I'm very pleased to be here, Chair and members. The points that I'm going to talk about through today is regarding the health department, which is the bulk of Article 2 in the proposal today. First, we're very thankful for the 2023 session law, Chapter 63, coming to fruition. And I really want to take a step back and acknowledge that this is an important and critical step for prevention programs that we now have resources to be able to stand up within the health department. And part of the change here is around program administration. This proposal gives us administrative funds to be able to create a statewide prevention campaign to provide technical assistance, fund staffing, and ensure that the grants are administered in an effective and efficient way. And also MDH is partnering with the Office of Addiction and Recovery, and the language that we've proposed here today refines and a little bit broadens the cannabis education pieces and allows for programs to address other substances for greater efficiency and impact. Overall, the statewide effort is leveraging a mixed methods approach to address substance misuse and improve the health of all Minnesotans. MDH is building a structure in which grant requirements and guidelines are to focus on public health in terms of being flexible for what is needed at the local public health level, and also with tribal nations, ensuring that we have options for local public health and tribes, using funds to fill those needs in a way that makes sense across our state and across different jurisdictions and with different populations. This is also a space in which we are being more population-based and public health-driven in terms of including options with recovery-friendly workplaces and other approaches that help support the people who are experiencing substance misuse, the families, the children, breastfeeding, pregnant individuals. And this remains a priority for the health department, knowing that families and individuals and pregnant and breastfeeding people come from communities and often use multiple substances. We're trying to reduce those risk factors with the proposals presented to you today. I would also add that we're proposing to amend language addressing local and public health in tribal nations. This ensures, again, the flexibility needed at the ground level to focus on health and well-being and multiple methods and a holistic approach, serving the entire family unit, community, and individual who's experiencing substance misuse. Okay, and I think that's what I'll share for today, and I'm available for questions with my team as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Assistant Commissioner. I apologize for mispronouncing your name earlier. Those are the only three testifiers that we had signed up. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify on this bill today? Seeing none, we will move to amendments. Chair Stevenson, you have the A3 amendment to the DE3. Would you like to move and describe the A3?
Madam Chair, I move the A3 amendment. This just clarifies some language, and the Assistant Commissioner just spoke to this around the education programming that's on page 7 of the DE.
All right. Members, any discussion to the A3 amendment to the DE3 amendment? All right. All in favor of the A3, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The motion prevails, and the A3 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Representative O'Driscoll, you have the A4 amendment to the DE3. Would you like to move and describe?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I offer the A4 amendment, I was just wondering if we could talk about a few process questions that might help me with how I proceed with the A4 amendment. As I looked at the DE, not all of the sources for the funds that are being moved here are within the jurisdiction of the Commerce Committee. And this is going to go to Ways and Means. Will this make its way to the other committees that have jurisdiction over health and the other the other areas that are represented in here.
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll. So the what you're talking about are the transfers of OMC and the hemp enforcement out of the Department of Health to the Office of Cannabis Management. Those transfers are actually effectuated in the cannabis policy omnibus bill, which was heard in the Health Committee. This is moving the money to match the policy work that's already been done. So those we have had a hearing on the subject of making this transfer in the Health Committee. I do not expect this bill to go through the Health Committee.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we do have the chair of the Committee on Health. You kind of made a representative gesture to her. Representative Liebling, are you okay with that? I mean, I'm just policy housekeeping stuff is all I'm looking at here today.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative O'Driscoll, yeah, I mean, that's kind of my understanding, too. We did hear the bill.
I just want to make sure that we don't have any process questions as this moves on, is all.
Representative O'Driscoll to the
A4? To the A4 amendment. One of the things as I was looking at this, I'm very concerned, and we have had discussions and taken amendments on the cannabis policy bill and other discussions along the way, and it really has to do with page 3 of the DE amendment, subdivision 2, youth prevention and education programs. I can tell you that these kinds of programs are invaluable to funding to make the younger members of our population aware of some of the perils, to do enforcement on these kinds of things. And I'm referring back to our tobacco experiences and some of the other areas where we have concerns with minor or underage use on here. And I've got to tell you, I'm receiving a lot more emails from school districts since this cannabis law has been passed and edibles and things have become more prevalent in society where it's falling into the hands of youth. And as a matter of fact, one of the school resource officers in my district wrote me and asked, is there going to be money available for testing and other kinds of identifying tools that they can use to help with this kind of a situation? There was a point in our history where if you did something, you smoked, you went into the lavatory. That's kind of how people did. They hid out in there or in a spot. And you were quickly given away because of the aroma that that particular product gave. And in this day and age where you have gummies and different things, you could literally be standing in your locker bank and no one would know if you put gum or a cough drop or a gummy or if it was a gummy that had, you know, was laced with you know, cannabis-related products. And I know this committee wants to take care of youth. And that's my purpose, is I've taken money from each of the other sections. I have not fully restored this. But I felt that maybe we could just take care of the youth a little bit more in this bill than we were by taking some of those funds away to, again, help those officers who are the school resource officers now that they're back in the school and are asking for this. And unfortunately, we've heard of a couple of instances, and some of them happened close to home, where Narcan has had to have been used. And now I realize Narcan is different from what we're talking about here and the opioids. But we're finding the youth getting these things into their hands, and it's causing a problem. If not but for the quick reaction of a school resource officer, there would have been an obituary in the paper about a youngster who perished as a result of not being able to have the Narcan administered. And so I really want us to be able to make sure that we're taking care of the youth in this particular bill and process. It's a whole new agency, as the commissioner, acting commissioner had mentioned. We need to stand this up, and we need to make sure that we also have the resources there to inform not only the public, but to inform those who are charged with public safety as well. And again, it's like the old commercial, it's for the kids.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. I share your concern on that. I actually went on a ride-along with the Hennepin County EMS recently, and there was we went to a school where a seventh-grade girl had been given a gummy that she just thought was candy, and it wasn't. So I think that, you know, these are really important discussions for us to continue to have. Chair Stevenson, you have...
Yep, Madam Chair, Representative Driscoll. I share the concern about youth education. I don't think the A4 amendment is one that I would accept, in part because of it's not that I don't support spending the additional money that you're trying to spend. It's I oppose the cuts that you're making in this amendment, and in particular, I'm concerned about the cut to the Poison Control Center for a lot of the reasons that you and Chair Katisa Platoon were discussing. That poison control appropriation is important, and beyond the fact that it's important and will help protect people, it's also the case that the department has entered into a four-year contract with the department with poison control already, which if we reduce this appropriation is problematic. So I would oppose the A4, but certainly understand and appreciate the focus on youth education and prevention.
I have Representative New Brindley on the list. Do you want to?
Thank you.
It was more to or, the Chair Stevens' comment, if I could.
Certainly, yeah. Representative Otis.
To the bill author, Chair Stevenson, I tried to do a share the pain with everybody because there were some of these line items that did not have reductions on them. And I am open to doing some oral amendments if you do want to try to do something today to get this going. I wanted to have this discussion in this committee. We appropriated this money into those other areas last year, and now we're going back and we're garnishing back some of those monies to put it into another use. Either we overshot the mark last year or we're going to undershoot the mark this year because we're cutting those short. And when we're into the poison prevention, when we're into the issues of education things, I absolutely want to make sure that we're putting the maximum dollars that we can, that we put through appropriations in there to take care of these things. Your story, Madam Chair, was very compelling. A seventh grader, another student or someone gave this, unknown. Could have been a friend, and the friend might not even know where the source of that was. We're going to have some issues and some problems.
Representative New Brindley, are your comments to the A4 as well? Or can circle
yes.
back?
Yes. Okay. No, to this amendment. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Stevenson. I appreciate your honesty about why this money needs to be moved around. You can imagine some frustration that the department entered into a contract that you now have to find money for.
No, I'm sorry. Can I interject? That's not what I meant to say at all. Representative O'Driscoll's amendment cuts an existing appropriation to the Poison Control Center. That appropriation was made last year, and the department relied upon it to enter into a contract, and now this amendment would reduce it.
Representative, really.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for that clarification. That was really concerning. I thought, oh, my goodness, what are we doing here? Yeah. But nonetheless, the point stands, and I appreciate Representative O'Driscoll's point that, you know, I mean, his approach tried to be surgical, right, and take a little bit from everywhere to try to fund this. And I would just underscore that point. I'm really concerned that to find money, we're cutting this to find money when you know, I mean, I think last year we all advocated we need more money in this kind of thing. And I would just underscore the stories that have already been told. This is really, really concerning. I was talking to a teacher. I will not disclose where she is teaching, but I was talking to a teacher just this Saturday who has been directed by her administration to say, listen, if you know a kid in your classroom is high, you are not to report that to the administration. They're told, just keep your eyes on them and make sure that they're safe and that they're not overdosing. This is the situation. This is so prevalent that this is the situation our teachers are being placed in schools. And so this idea that we're going to take any funding out of this youth prevention and education is really, really concerning. I mean, first and foremost, obviously, our concern is for our kids. But it's not even just our kids. There are other people, professionals, teachers, others, who are being put at risk by us by us not making sure that we are, and I get it, we are never going to eliminate problems, right? But by us not doing everything we can. And just side note, this poison control thing, we should look into that in the future. Because frankly, in this day and age, especially with the kind of stuff we're talking about, 911 is our poison control at this point. Like, that's who is helping people who are in emergency situations. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand the purpose of poison control. I mean, most of us in this room grew up with the Mr. Yuck stickers. But but at this day and age, and particularly when it relates to this kind of stuff, it's really an emergency situation for a lot of these folks. And like I said, I was floored to hear that there are teachers in Minnesota right now being told, just keep your eye on them.
Chair Stevenson.
Yeah, so two things. One, Representative Greenlee, I, if you haven't had a chance to talk to the poison control folks about why they asked for this money last year and how they're applying it, I'd encourage you to do so. Off the top of my, I saw this amendment kind of as I was sitting down today, so I can't, I'd have to go back and find my materials to do that. What I recall was meeting with the poison control several times last year, and the case they made for the funding was very compelling, and that's why it's in the bill, because I found it to be a really compelling case and a priority. I hear what you're saying about 911, but I think that if you talk to them, you probably would find that that's an important thing to do. So you might do that. I will say, Representative O'Driscoll, while I don't recommend a yes vote on the A4, I'm open to I don't think there's magic into the way that we've found this the money that's necessary here, and we can have ongoing conversations about it, and I would suspect the office would be open to those discussions too. So because I don't think anyone's saying that we shouldn't be spending money on youth prevention and education. It's just, how are we going to make the
Representative?
Well, Mr. Chair, I appreciate that. I am sincere when I say that I want to put the money into the youth programs. We have that in alcohol. We have that in tobacco. We have that in other areas. And before this is even out of the chute, we're shaving the bottom on this. My offer to you, Mr. Chair, and the author of the bill, is we obviously have ways and means that this is going to. We obviously will have the bill on the floor. I am open to, if you want to work together and sure, put some proposals and visit by our side of the aisle on this to help with that restoration of, and I'm not asking for a complete restoration. I'm asking for some, what are the maximum dollars we can put in here to help the kids. I will actually withdraw the amendment today if I can get your commitment that we can do something and we can move some of these numbers around to beef that number up.
Chair Stevens.
Madam Chair, Representative Driscoll, I will absolutely commit to working with you in absolute good faith to see if there's something we can do there. Obviously, I can't promise the result you're hoping for, and you may end up bringing an amendment anyway that I don't like later on this, but I absolutely commit to work with you in good faith to try and see what we can do here.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Could I just have the acting director come sure forward? I want to just visit with her as well. I'm not trying to tie people down to he said, she said, I said. I want to see if this is a viable option today, or if it's not, then let's clear the air today, because I want people to take their time if we haven't got the ability to actually do some moving and shifting to keep that program as fully funded as we possibly can.
Director Briner.
My statement is my question. I'm sorry.
Director Briner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. I think that at the Office of Cannabis Management, we share your commitment to public safety in all things, and particularly, and I can speak personally as a former Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Education, prevention for youth consumption, abuse, and other risky behaviors is something that I've spent the better part of my career focused on. So I think that we are very open to taking the lead of the legislature in conversations to make sure that we can accomplish our shared goals, both for a safe, regulated cannabis industry and to make sure that we are providing education and outreach to young people to make sure these products stay out of their hands.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Well, Madam Chair, I do look forward to the day that we can see some other numbers that, again, help shore up and preserve the spirit and intent that I've heard no one speak against. wanting to support that part of the line item. So I'm looking for good things for the youth in the state of Minnesota as a result of that. And so I will withdraw the A4 amendment at this time. With everyone's understanding, we'll work in good faith and we'll get some numbers back and see what we can't do once again for the kids. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative O'Driscoll withdraws the A4 amendment to the DE3 amendment. And so on that, members, we are now on the underlying DE3 amendment. Any discussion to the DE3 as amended? All right. Seeing none, all in favor of the DE3 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. The motion prevails, and the DE3 amendment as amended is adopted. Members, to the bill as amended. Any discussion? Seeing none, we can move to closing comments. Chair Stevenson.
That's a good bill. Vote yes.
Right. Chair Stevenson renews his motion that House File 5295 as amended be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Say nay. The motion prevails. House File 5295 as amended is re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Chair Stevenson will also move that nonpartisan staff be authorized to make any technical corrections needed to reflect the will of the committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion also prevails. Next on the list is House File 5252 from Representative Carr.
The main event, as it's called.
I can't believe so many people are leaving.
Mr. Chair, I thought for sure they were here to see 50 or here 52 and
outrageous, really. Representative Farr, would you like to move your bill?
I would. So we are just hearing it today, is that correct?
Yeah, just moving it before the committee. So Representative Farr moves
5252.
5252. What a great number for a card game bill. before the committee.
It's like 420.
Representative Farr, to your bill.
So, Mr. Chair, contrary to what you may have heard, this is not my re-election bill. I'm not looking for one of those. So,
and we are all disappointed in that fact.
I am. So, in all seriousness, brought to me by a constituent, Mac, from Mac's Green Mill Bar. And Mac does a lot of charity work, card tournaments, those sort of things for youth associations, the family that's gets the sick individual, those sort of things. And Mac's words to me are, you know, look, north of Belle Plaine, nobody understands what Pfeffer is. I get that. But down here, it's a variant, really, of euchre, very close to that. And so he wants to be able to do that without being in jeopardy of losing his license. And so to our earlier conversation, Mr. Chair, I've had several bar owners reach out and just one try to correct me and say that it's called Pfeffer down here. But after doing a little research and running this through, what research told me was we should add the word Hassenpfeffer, because Pfeffer is a variation of that, and that will cover it and we'll be good to go. And so perhaps way more than you want to know about any of these things, but a very simple change just to make this lawful and legal to have a Pfeffer tournament, very similar card games, and it's a matter of what community you're in southern Minnesota as to whether they play euchre or they play Pfeffer. So while it doesn't seem like it is the most important thing that perhaps we'll do today, to some it is. So
someone told me that this is euchre with the jokers, or euchre without the jokers?
With
the jokers. Okay.
With, yes.
And have you ever played this game?
I played both. Yes, I played Pfeffer and euchre. So
subject matter expert, if anyone.
Well, it's been a while. I'll give you that. So my 34 years in the guard, I got to many different southern Minnesota locations, you know, and served in different communities. And in the evening, a deck of cards often came out, and these games were played. And so it depended on which community we're in terms of which was the prominent card game there. So I have played both.
Okay.
And I did check with our lead, because often these are played with a favorite beverage, but he told me I couldn't bring that beverage here as a treat for everyone, so I apologize for that. So, although that beverage is under the purview of this committee, he said no.
That's right. Well, we will punish Representative Driscoll for that later. Are there any members of the public wishing to testify as to this bill? Okay. Member discussion to the bill.
Representative Farr, is it true that you have never played cribbage?
Representative Farr.
Representative, yes, that is. That is true.
It's a good thing you're not seeking re-election.
Representative Farr, I'm hoping that, you know, you will take some of your newfound time in retirement to learn the great game of cribbage in addition to Haas and Pfeffer. And I would commit on the record to potentially learning Haas and Pfeffer. Maybe we could, enter into some tournament down in your parts.
A cultural exchange, Representative Farr. In
the spirit of bipartisanship, I commit to that endeavor.
Representative Niska.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Farr, for this important bill. I guess the question I have in terms of whether this is necessary is about what a statutory interpretation question of what euchre means in the statute. Is there case law about whether a joker is required or not allowed in the game of euchre under current law?
I don't.
Farr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I am hoping that, much like testifiers, these guys only get 2 minutes to ask questions. is that going to be the case? I'm not aware of any Representative Niska.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Farr, you know, I come from a strong German heritage. I've got my jacket on today. And as I just look into my German heritage, I'm looking and I'm seeing that Haas and Pfeffer is maybe more commonly referred to as an actual food rather than a card game. Can you explain?
Representative Farr.
Yes, it is. I'm aware of that as well. And so, no, I can't explain that. I went to research with this, asking to add the word Pfeffer, and they told me that Haas and Pfeffer was actually a better overarching game, or word for it. So there's no rabbit stew today. So,
season of disappointment. Representative Driscoll.
I would like to speak last on the issue once all members have had a chance.
Of course, of course. I think that moment's now.
Yeah. You owe me. As soon as I get on the list, everybody else wants off, Farr.
Yep.
I do have a question. As I've never played this game before, and kind of following up on what the chair said, that this game is played with jokers, my question is, would the clowns be to the left of me and the jokers to the right of me, and here I am stuck in the middle?
That would be correct.
Representative Farr, yeah.
That would be correct.
Okay. I guess we've got clarification on that, and because we do have to make sure we pursue legislative intent, because we never know who may challenge which laws in the state of Minnesota the legislature passes. So glad we have that on the record.
Closing comments, Representative Farr.
It's a good bill, and I hope we can fit it in somewhere.
With that, we'll lay over House File 5252. Members, that concludes our agenda items for today, and absent something unexpected, I believe that this very well could be our last meeting of the session, and thus our last meeting of the biennium. And I want to extend a genuine thank you to every member of the committee for your work over the 2 years that we've been together. I think we've done really great work in a very collaborative way from the bills that we've taken up, but even the way the committee functions, and I think we can be really proud of that, of the culture that we had in this committee and the work that we did. I also want to thank all of the staff that we have had here, our pages, both last year and this year. Our nonpartisan staff, Ms. Pompu is not here today, but we're really grateful for her work over the biennium. Mr. Johnson's here, and I'm always very grateful for Mr. Johnson. He's probably not always very grateful for me, but I'm grateful for him. Ms. Eng, our fiscal analyst, our partisan researchers on both the DFL and GOP side, Eric and Casey. We have Mr. Durfee with us this year. We had Mr. Dockendorf last year as our committee legislative assistant, and they've both done great work. And then, of course, where would we be without Simon Brown, our committee administrator, who is one of the absolute best staff people we have in the Minnesota House. And I dare anyone to contradict me on that. He's phenomenal. He's phenomenal, and I'm really, really grateful that that he continues to choose to work with us and with me in particular. So thank you all for that. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.